Many years ago, some of the boys that are still here, we went on a mission trip to Africa, and we 6 hours from Johannesburg, and we stayed at a mountain, and it was just a mountain in the middle of nowhere, and it was a Salvation Army hospital for people with TB and AIDS, and they were there in isolation, and sadly, many of them went there to die, and you don't realize how much you have until you know, I think every couple of years it's good to go on a bit of a mission trip or go to a country or go to see, experience something that you don't necessarily, it challenges you and put you out of your comfort zone. And we've got a handful of our guys meeting today for lunch. Our mission guys are going over to Tava Uni. So we pray that that would be a great thing. But I want you to pray and consider, what is it that you, God, want me to give to support other people that the Salvation Army does around the world? So let's just leave that between you and God. I've been thinking lately, and I'm a bit of a dreamer, but I'm thinking, okay, God, have you got more for us? Ever ask that? There's got to be more to this? No, am I the only one? Ever think about in your life and what you're experiencing, there's got to be more than what I've experienced. Anyone? Yeah. There's got to be more than this. And sometimes, as a church leader, on the last handful of weeks, just been praying, God, what is it that you want for our church? What is it that you want of me? And normally I always go, what do you want us to do? And you know what? I feel like God's gently whispering. He says, just deeply depend on me. And I feel like it was deeply pursue me. What would church look like if people deeply pursued him? I want you to think about that for a second. I want you to dream with me. What would it look like if God's people, which are you and I, if we actually just deeply pursued God? What would it look like? I can rephrase it. What would happen if everyone aligned ourselves to what the Holy Spirit God wanted to do? What would happen? What would it look like? What would happen if we as individuals and as a church deeply aligned with whatever God wanted, and we created space for the Holy Spirit to do his thing, and we just were like joining him as he's working? What would it look like? What would happen? Sorry? There wouldn't be enough seats in the church, yes? There wouldn't be any empty spaces. And why is that? People would come. More people would come. Because you know what? There's only one thing that can quench the hole in someone's heart and spirit, and it's the love and knowledge and understanding and experience of the Holy Spirit and which God in their lives. What else? What would it look like? What would change? Come on, I'm not going to get you out of it. I'm going to sit in this awkward moment for a little while. What would it look like? You'd see more miracles. Amen. What else? Yeah, that's right. Who knows what God would do? There's a beauty about this unknown. I don't know what God would do, but you know what? I want to be a part of what God's doing. What else? But also, we don't know, but also we understand the characteristics of God. We understand that the fruits of Spirit will be evident. We understand that a bit of touch of, like, heaven would come to earth, in a sense. What else? People would have a deeper relationship and encounter with God. What else? Come on, think about it. What happens if we actually aligned ourselves to what God wanted to do? We're actually living our God-given potential and dream. What would happen? Things would get done. So? You begin small and things happen. What else? We'd be fulfilled. We'd be aligning ourselves to the gifts and the dreams that God has given us in our heart, and we'd be fulfilled because we're doing it. Anyone ever want to be a bit more fulfilled in life? What else? Watch out, government. We'd pray them up or pray them out. But you know what? God would do a new thing. God, however, through the generations and generations, have used corrupt governments to do godly things. He can do that. What else? Sorry? Forgiveness would be a stronger reaction. So we're starting to see the characteristics of Jesus would be displayed more. What else? People would be working in their giftings and their talents, and God would bless that because they're doing what they're called to do. What else? Yep, Daryl. We would be guided by what God wants and not what we want. What else? I want you to dream about that. What would it look like if we actually were just God's hands and feet? What would it look like? Come on. Yeah. Yes. So if we genuinely did what God wanted us to do, it wouldn't be all roses. Because what would happen? We'd start standing up for things. We'd start drawing the line in the sand. We would err to the size of grace, not judgment. We would show love at all costs. So you'd have to be willing to come under fire for doing the right thing or God's thing. Yeah. What else? We'd worship more freely. What about David? He worshipped undignified before the Lord. You know what? Sometimes I'm like, our undignified is probably, you know, a little bit of this, you know. But what would it look like for you to worship freely and just allow yourself to be free? Kim talks about when she's at home alone, she dances in the kitchen and she goes crazy. What would it look like if we all just went a little bit crazy just for Jesus once in a while? I'm not saying you need to do that to worship God, but I'm thinking, what would it look like for you to be truly free to worship God? What else? People would be drawn to us because we've got something they're longing for. And it's the Creator, the Holy Spirit, the God lives within you and I. Someone said something of you? Yeah, we'd see broken families and communities restored. What would happen? What else? Studying and knowing His Word would matter a whole lot more. It's true. What else? He would provide. You know what I mean? You wouldn't look, okay, what have I got in order that I can do? You think, no, God, what do you want me to do? And He'll just provide what needs to happen. Yeah. And I want to ask you the question, why doesn't that happen? Why doesn't what we've just pictured occur? It might happen in snippets, but why doesn't it happen? Why doesn't it occur today? Because we don't journey with God, or we journey with God, maybe not as well as we could have. What else? We don't like being taken out of our comfort zones. We're too scared to know what it would mean if we actually did it. Perfect love drives out fear. There's no fear in God. And it says, fear not. So when you give in to fear, it's disobedience. Fear not, for I am with you. When you give in to fear, it's disobeying what God has asked you to do. When you give in to fear, He prompts you to do something and He asks you to do something and you give into it, you are giving in to something that is not of Him. What else? We get so busy. I don't think Satan needs to do much. He just goes, oh, they're already busy doing their stuff. And then he gets his, that's what he wants. Why don't we see that? We like to be in control. Yeah, we don't have enough humility to accept that God is in control. We can hand it to him. We worry what other people think. What does it say in Scripture? Do not fear man, fear God. Be more concerned about what he wants than anyone else. Yeah. Yeah, if you started living totally surrendered to what God would want, it would look different and you would be judged. Nothing great, I think, ever happens through... Nothing great ever happens, I think, without sacrifice. I just think there's got to be a sacrifice. And I can tell you this, I have never met anyone who's regretted saying yes to Jesus. I've never met anyone who's regretted doing and living the life that God has called them to live. And reality, if we want that life, that first life that we talked about, I was thinking, okay, God, what is it that you want us to do? We're looking at a 5-year plan. Okay, well, God, what is it our church going to look like in 5 years' time? And we can come up with all these things we want to do and whatever. And I'm thinking, actually, he just says, just pursue me and it'll happen. And on our senior leadership team, we have Rob Archer, Steve Cugley, David Hosking, Lynn McComb, Joel Campbell, we have Kim Stewart-Briggs, Beck Kunasami, Catherine Lucas, and Clay Clifton. And over this year, we're just looking, okay, God, what does it look like over the next 5 years? What does it look like? And I feel like God just reminded me, just deeply pursue me, encourage your people to pursue me. And said, well, how do we do that? We were going to come up with this other series. We had this other series planned for the next 5 weeks. And as I was preparing or whatever, I said to Kim, I'm just not feeling this. And at Thursday at 3:00, you definitely want to know what you're preaching about and what you're going to preach on for the next 5 weeks. I said, I'm just not feeling this. I think we need to throw this whole series out and we just need to just keep talking about holiness and what does that look like and prayer and pressing into this space. And she's like, okay, well, she doesn't have to preach the next couple of weeks. But she's like, okay, let's do that. And you know what? I feel like God just says, reminded me of the pursuit of holiness. You know, in the Salvation Army, we can sometimes look at the Salvation Army and think they got it wrong, but sometimes they look back and you think they got it right. In the morning meeting, they would have the holiness meeting. And at the night, the PM service, it would be the what? Salvation meeting. Two simple things. Being set apart for God. Pursuing him at all cost. And then at night, making souls, making people come to know Jesus, making that the primary business of why we exist and what we do. I caught up with a friend this week, and she's a bit of a prayer warrior, and she said to me, the goal of the church, she was reading this, and she thought I'd like it, and which I really did, and I've printed it and put it on my wall in my office. It says, the goal of the church is not ultimately to accommodate the people that come to the church. The goal of the church is not to accommodate the people that come to church. Our goal is to host the presence of the great evangelist, the Holy Ghost. The goal of our church is to make room for God and to allow him to do his work. And sometimes people come longing for that space in their heart and their life and their spirit. They come longing and looking for that. And what sometimes the church does is we give them programs. We give them a warm place, but what they're longing for is a deep sense of identity and worth in who they are. You with me? And it's only found through God, through the Holy Spirit. The passage is going to come up on the screen. And how about we read this together? Is that all right? Okay, I'll count you in. 1, 2, 3.
Sanctify them in my life's truth. The word that you
Do you believe the word of God? You don't sound convinced. Do you believe God's word? And you would agree that our goal is not only to believe it, but to live it out. Yep. Now, there's some stuff in here that should blow our minds. And I just want to touch on holiness before I just go back to that passage. The Greek word for holy is hagios, H-A-G-I-O-S, hagios, or here, hagiosmos. And it speaks about the separateness of God, okay? The separateness of God, meaning he's uncontaminated, he's pure, he's separate, he's holy. It's being set apart. You've heard about that in holiness, set apart. In the world, not of the world. And then we have this great call in this passage that says to us, be holy for I'm holy. Have you heard that? Be holy for I'm holy. And that remember that God never sets us up to fail. So he doesn't ask us to do something if he doesn't give us the skills and ability and actually what we need to fulfill it. So he's actually given us an opportunity. He's actually given us what we need to live a holy life, a life set apart in this world. You agree? You're not so agreed on that one. You agree that God's given us everything that we need to live a holy life through the gift of his Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay. So then we go up to the passage. You might want to just flick to it, Ian, if that's all right. And we see, I'm just going to skip to, let's go with verse 22. It says, I have given them the glory that you gave me. Whoa, 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 whoa. Do you believe that? We're talking about the glory of Jesus Christ here. I have given them the glory that you have given me. You know, it says in the scripture, it goes, you will do even greater things than I. This is what Jesus says. And I sometimes think that some of this does not happen because we don't understand what we have at our disposal in the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what would it look like if we gave absolute, complete control to God in our life? What does it say? It says, I have given them the glory that you have given me. And then go back to verse 21. Sorry, Ian. Go to verse 21. It says, will believe in me through the message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world may know that you have sent me. So there's this intimacy. I'm going to bring this home soon, so I'm hoping... Just stay with me. There's this intimacy that we can have with God. There's this great intimacy, and the world would be radically changed. The world would be absolutely radically changed if we could understand that. If we pursued holiness. And I'm telling you, I hope you're feeling encouraged because that's what I want to encourage us. My encouragement from this message is simply that God's people and the church would pursue to live a holy life, a life set apart. A life where we allow the Holy Spirit, a life that we are willing to live undignified before the Lord, do whatever he wants us to do. And there's a couple of things that I just want to look at. Three vital steps towards living a holy life. Three vital steps towards living a holy life. First of all, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must make a decision in your life that, you know what, God's way is better than my way. I believe that Jesus was God's son. I believe, and I've asked for forgiveness. I've said sorry to God. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life pursuing him. I was headed this way, but I'm repenting. It's a 180 degree turn. And now I'm going towards God and I'm going to pursue him for the rest of my days. That's repentance. Many of you have made that decision. And there's times in life when we get a bit off track, but reality is that's what it is. You have to be born again. Many of you can relate to that. Then the other thing is, a holy life doesn't happen by accident. You with me? A holy life doesn't happen by accident. It's a continual pursuit. You never arrive. But we don't beat ourselves up because you know what? You cannot be perfect, but you can be holy. You with me? You cannot be perfect, but you can be holy. And we have to intentionally pursue and desire to live a holy, set apart life. That's our goal. You think about in your life, what's your life goal? Just want to be holy. I just want to be set apart. I just do want to do what God wants me to do. Born again. Make it a goal in your life to be set apart and holy before Him. The number one goal in your life. And the third thing is the hardest. The third thing is this. And mentioned, we must allow God, the Holy Spirit, to have full control of our life. That's pretty tough, would you agree? One of the greatest challenges. Paul talks about it. I can't do what I want to do and I can't do, and then goes back and forth. I'm going to finish with an illustration. I want someone to represent. I need three people. Andrew, you'd be a good God if you can come over here, but you've got a deep voice. No, keep being a teacher. Stand over here. Look, I reckon you'd be a great Jesus. Got a little goatee thing going on over there. Just stand here. Actually, we'll go on the ground because just in case something happens, I don't want you to sue me or anything. And Charmaine, you'd be a great Holy Spirit, okay? Add a little of that feminine touch. Come over here. So over here, we have the Father. Oh, we have the Son. You can just stand over here for a second. And the Holy Spirit. No, I'm not being ageist. I'm like, okay. And what I mean by this is they're all the same but all different. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to go to too much of this. You know, it's a bit like an egg. You know what I mean? It's an all egg, but there's different parts of the egg, but they're all the same. Now, what we do is we look to Jesus to know how to live a holy life. We look to Jesus to actually know the characteristics of God the Father, because they're seen in Him. You with me? We look to Jesus. We pursue to live a life for Jesus. And we look at Jesus as the ultimate example of how to live a holy life, a set-apart life, who displays the fruits of the Spirit, who just lives that life. Are you with me? And when Jesus died, He sent us a helper to enable us to stay connected to the Father, to also to keep looking at the Son, but also to live like the Son in the Holy Spirit. You with me? Now, these are I want you to just sort of join hands in like a little, like as if you're going around in a circle, like the kids sort of thing. Okay. Hold hands. Beautiful. Now, what happens in life, this is what happens, I'm talking about this sort of holiness, in sort of 101. What we do, and one of the hardest things for us to do, is we need to look to Jesus, and we can read Scripture on this, but the key thing is that the gift of the Holy Spirit, when we repent, we give our life to Jesus, we say, okay, God, come into our heart, I'm going to try my best to live like You. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God, and I'm connected to the Son and the Father through the Holy Spirit. Would you agree? I'm connected. So when I stay connected to the Holy Spirit, God within me, I can start to live out the characteristics of the Son and the Father. I can know what the Father wants and what Jesus wants me to do through staying connected to the Holy Spirit. You with me? And the challenge for us in life is how entangled are we with the Holy Spirit? How entangled am I with the Holy Spirit? How close am I with the Holy Spirit? I'm not going to get any closer, don't worry. She's okay with that. Okay. But how close I can be with the Holy Spirit. And you know what God was sort of showing me just recently? He says, how entangled are you with me, Mark? How entangled are you with me? How do you let it just go into every facet of your life, into your thoughts, into your feelings, in what you say, in what you speak, in what you read? How does it look like? And sometimes I get distracted. I get distracted. The Holy Spirit is still with me, but sometimes I get distracted. And I start to do things on my own, in my own strength, and I just do some stuff. And then I look back and I'm thinking, oh, Jesus, that's not very Christ-like. And I look back and I'm sorry, Lord, I'm going to get back here and again. And how am I going to do this? But you know what pursuing holiness does? We pursue to be set apart for God, not perfect. We start to, and we try and minister to people. So I see Stu over here and I want to minister him. He's my mate, doesn't know Jesus, but I just want to love on him. And then sometimes this is great. And I'm staying connected to the Holy Spirit over here, which is representing you two guys. And we're over here and sometimes I can get distracted. And I can go over and I sort of bring you guys with me a little bit. So we come over here and, but I'm human and we just sort of stay connected and we're impacting each other. Okay, but what this? But you know what holiness wants us to do? is to not live life semi-connected to the Holy Spirit. What holiness will allow us to do if we live like this? Imagine this. I go and help Stu. Come on, guys. Come for a walk. When I come and minister to Stuart, Shazam, he's knocked over in the power of the Holy Spirit right there, right? What I'm saying is, I bring with me God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. Obviously, I have that through the Holy Spirit, but a greater power and anointing. This is like what it is to be holiness, to be holy. It's to actually do what God wants me to do. And instead of saying, who do I want to minister to? I'm going, hey, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who do you want to minister to next? Oh, Andrew, how are you going over here, mate? Yeah, what's going over here? And I think, what is God doing in his space? And you start doing whatever he wants me to do. Oh, over here. Oh, that's right. The Southern Shire has one of the highest youth suicide rates. What are we going to do about that, God? Southern Shire has a high DV rate. What are we going to do about that, God? We have 50 people having a meal that can't afford to have a meal. What are we going to do about that, God? What are we going to do about that? And we allow God to speak in life. God, I've got a broken, my marriage is close to being broken. Or friendships are close to being broken. What am I going to do about that, God? But I don't do it away. I don't do it away instead of like, I'm connected. People know I go to church. I'm sort of connected, but I come over here and, hey, go on, brother. You're hating this, sitting in the back there. You thought you just get in, all right? And you know what? But what I do is I don't only just bring them, but I let them consume me. I let them consume my thoughts. And come on, let's go and minister to my brother over the back here. See if we can do this. You watch the pram. And what we do is, we this is what happens. And when we start to do this, guess what happens? In you come. Oh, yeah. You know what? He can come into the fold. He can come into the experience of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And only then can the trueness and the love and the joy and the peace can actually come to reality. Are you with me? Anyway, thanks, guys. Thanks, Father. Give the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit a round of applause. I'm simply going to conclude in this. We're going to have 5 minutes. 5 minutes just to rest and be still. And I simply want you to ask this. God, Holy Spirit, you are in my life. What is it that you want me to hear this morning? Don't go into the doing. What is it you want me to hear this morning? And reality is all he wants, and it's a big cost. He wants you to lay down your life. He wants you to give everything you have. He wants you to make your life all about him and allow the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to consume you like never before. It will cost you. But this morning he's asking the question anew for all of us. He's asking you the question, are you willing to recommit to me in a new level? Do you want to experience me, the God, the Holy Spirit, at a new place? Are you willing to absolutely let go of everything so that you can be the man or the woman that God has called you to be? You with me? I want you to think about and dwell on that. And if you have negative words of like, I can't, I'm terrible, I've done this, I've done that, they're not of God, okay? Because that's pushing you away from him. But if you have words like, I love your son, I love your daughter, if you have words like, you can do this, you know that area in your life that's a little bit muddy? I want you to clean it up. I'm not doing that to persecute you. I'm doing that because I love you and it will eventually bring of your destruction. And right now, the mercy seat is open. And I would love for our church, you know, I want to see revival in our church. I want to see these things happen. I want to see thousands of people come to know Jesus. And I said, why is it happening? But you know, God says, you know what? Just deeply pursue me. And by this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for another. I'm going to have time just to be still. You can kneel at your... But it's a time of surrender. Whatever you need to do to surrender. You may want to stand. You may want to just sit and pray. I think do something symbolic today. Come down to the mercy seat and pray and go, God, again, I'm just like, I love you. You're already saved. You're already a Christian. You've already given your life to Him. But, you know, but today, God, I'm going to give it all to you. I'm going to give it all away for you. And then and only then can a true representation of Jesus Christ be made to the world in which we live. So just if you want to close your eyes and just allow that space. God, we know that you are here. We know that you're here. We ask right now that your Holy Spirit would have complete His way today. That you would break down any pride. That you would break down any fear. That you would break down anything that is holding us back from being exactly who you want us to be. Have your way right now in this space and speak to us, we ask, God.
People that want to respond today, just a symbolic gesture, just come and do it. Just come and do it. Just say yes, whatever you want, God.
Just go and do it. Some people are being prompted to go and pray with someone. Go and do it. Some people are prompted for the first time to give their life to Jesus, and I just want to say, do it. Whatever that little voice or that prompting, just do it today. Don't leave here with any regrets. I'm just going to allow this space. And God, we ask that you'd have your way in us and through us.
Still in an attitude of prayer, so keep your eyes closed.
Pride will be one of the most costly things, I think, at the end of eternity. Pride will be one of the most costly things at the end of eternity. I'll say it again. Pride will be one of the most costly things at the end of eternity. Because pride gets in and stops you from being all that God has called you to be. Sometimes I get together with some pastors and friends, and I talk about the church in the Western world as like the mask-wearing church. Because we just put on masks, we put on fronts, we pretend everything's okay. You know, I started a group recently, and it was simply with some men, and it was just to be real with each other. One of the first rules is, I won't say how we say it a bit more frank than this, but basically, no mask wearing. It's 100% truth all the time. You can tell us how you are all the time. And then the first time, the opening was, someone says, I don't know if I believe anymore. And that person goes, I'm not coping, and I've been needed to go and see someone for a while, but I don't want to go on that stigma that about going to a psychologist. It's just, but I know I need to do it. Another guy opens up and goes, I'm thinking of, you know, I'm not sure that I want to be around much longer. And they struggle with how that works. And there was a couple of people in the group that are going well. And we praise God for that. But when we allow pride to, we want to present something, we want to be false, what we do is we actually create barriers. Sin separates us from God. Pride separates us from God. Unforgiveness separates us from God. And pursuing holiness is like saying, I'm going to let all those things go in order to be close to you, in order to be the best man, the best woman that I can for you, Jesus. I don't have to be perfect, but I can be holy. And there's some battles going on right now. Some people have had this pride going on for a long time, and the Holy Spirit is nudging. And you don't get many of these moments where the Holy Spirit nudges you. I've got more for you. I want you to do something about that. And you sort of, I'm going to fight this long enough. I've only got another 5 minutes and we're going to be over here. I'm going to be having morning tea. We'll be talking about the football. I'm going to push. You know what? I think the Holy Spirit's just saying, you know what? Enough of that. Just give in to me. Just surrender to me. Just let me have it all. I want all your baggage. I love you. I want all your insecurities. I want it all. I simply want you to come to me, hand it over, and journey together. And right now we're going to sing this song through. And for some people, I still believe that the mercy seat is a powerful time just to come and be before the Lord. For some people, you may want to kneel. And for some, you may just, as you're singing this song, you may want to stand. You may want to lift your hand up as a sign that you say, okay, God, whatever you, but do something symbolic today. And whatever it is, just say yes to Him, whatever He asks. You'll never regret saying yes to Him.